with us here on WJNI. This is Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer radio program where you set the tone, you decide the subject, and we just go to God's word for the answers. Please go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564 to call in your question here to the broadcast. We can have your question written down and brought in to us. Or if you would rather to go live over the air, you can do that as well. You can dial 308-9564 and just tell the operator who answered the phone that you want to ask your question live, and we will put you through, and you can do that. If you ask your question live, we only ask two things of you: that you would turn your radio down just to make sure there is no confusing echo and we can go back and forth and there will be no confusion, and also that you would just be able to give us your name, please, so that we can be kind and address you by name. So those are the two things that we ask if you do want to go live. And if you don't want to go live and you'd rather to text in your question, we have a text line available as well. The text line is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. And all the area codes that we're going to be using today, well, all the area codes that we always use is 843. For every number that we give you, it's area code 843. Just in case there is people listening that may be outside of our radio listening area. And we can do that by our website. We have a website, www.BibleAlone.com. That's www.BibleAlone.com. There is a link where you can listen live streaming to the program anywhere in the world. So if you have a family member or a loved one who is somewhere away from this listening area, then they can go to BibleAlone.com and click the live streaming button, and they will be able to listen to the radio broadcast, as well as the TuneIn Radio app. Look for WJNI, and they can have a live streaming option on there as well. If you have a smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app is available to you to go to WJNI, and you can listen to the program live streaming anywhere at all. So those are the methods that you can get in touch with us. We're trying to be able to be open in any way possible. And so it is our earnest desire and our earnest prayer that we make ourselves available to you to give you book, chapter, verse of God's words. Hopefully you are hearing God's word and not the words of man. So please, with that being said, go ahead, call in your questions right now. 308-9564. The lines are open. We have two lines available. 308-9564.
We are glad to be able to be in your listening area right now, that you would be able to want to listen to what God says in His Word. We want to give a shout out or a thank you to those of you that came out to the gospel meeting or the gospel discussion that we had this weekend, Friday and Saturday in Goose Creek. There was a good number of you that came out, and we are so thankful to see your heart and to see your interest in knowing what God says in His Word. We are thrilled to be able to have those kind of events from time to time, and we thank you, those of you that took out time in your day, in your evenings, to be able to come out and to be able to listen to and ask your questions in person. If you did not get that opportunity to come out, and yet you wanted to, please communicate with us, and we will see what we can do about arranging another one, maybe even one in your area where you live, and we will see what we can do. Especially if you're wanting to host such a meeting as that, we will make certain that personnel comes and is able to come and answer these questions that you might have or your friends may have. You can host that. It can be in your home, or it can be in a community center around you, or wherever it is that you have a interest in setting that up. We will try to make ourselves available for such an event as that. You can make that arrangement or start the ball rolling simply by calling 553-5157, 553-5157, and again, of course, that's area code 843, and just mention, I would like to host a Let the Bible Speak in my home or in my community, and then we'll be back in touch with you. So either way that you would like to arrange it, or any way that we can be of service, it is our honor to be able to serve. And indeed, that is exactly what the Lord wants all of us to be and to do. None of us are superior or over anyone else. Christ has all authority. He deserves all honor. And we are all servants. And so there's no big I's or little U's in the kingdom of God except for Christ himself. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's the only one that deserves the glory and honor. And so we're all servants. We might be just messengers to point out what God's word says. And that's exactly what we desire on this radio program. And that is for us to just be a simple messenger, that you would not hear us, but rather you're listening to God himself as we go to the Bible for the questions on your mind. So don't wait. Go ahead and call right now. The lines are available. 308-9564, 308-9564 is the voice line. And then if you would like to call in your question, then certainly go ahead and do that right now. Now, the text line is also available. The text line is 725-9283, 725-9283. Either way you want to communicate with us, that will be fine. And we will go to the Bible. You set the theme. You set the topic that we'll be discussing. God is the one that will answer it through his word as we just go to book, chapter, and verse for the answer. And so, Chuck, I believe you have the first question there.
We sure do. This question is asked, how does the Bible address people who claim that they are born gay? People claim that they are born gay. Okay, well, I have three scriptures that I want you to consider. So if you need to write this down, I'll give you a second to get ready. So I have three scriptures concerning this question about people who claim, once again, emphasis on the word claim that they are born gay. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. There's Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 32. There's Revelation 21, verse 8. So that's 1 Corinthians 6, 9, verse 11, Romans 1, 26 through 32, and Revelations 21, 8. So I just want to look at the passage in 1 Corinthians here. The passage in 1 Corinthians shows in verses 9 through 11, it gives a list of sins that people would be partaking in. And in verse 9, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So the list of sins that people were partaking in, it all falls into this category of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he goes on to make mention of things that are unrighteous. He says that do not be deceived. So once again, a large portion of the world is deceived that somehow it's okay to be homosexual and God is still going to be able to let you into heaven and to love that sin that you're in. Well, God loves the sinner. He loves a person. But if you're engaged in a practice of sin, he wants you to repent. He wants you to change. And that is seen here. He says, do not be deceived. So don't be fooled into thinking it's okay. He says, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 11 is key. Verse 11 shows that these people were these things, that people, they practiced these things, but they stopped, they repented, they turned away from those things once they gave their lives to God. They submitted to Christ, they were baptized into Christ, they became a part of Christ's church, and they started living in a manner pleasing to God. It says that you are able to turn away from any of these things. Any of these things that you would fall into, and any of these practices, these sinful practices, you're able to turn away from them. Verse 11 shows that. He says, such were some of you, past tense. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564.
It's time for us to take our first break. And so while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. The voice line is 308-9564, and you can call in your questions right now. And by the way, just for, if you're a new listener, we want you to know that the questions do pile up at the end of the program. And so if you are a frequent listener, you'll know that. And so please go ahead and call in your question now so that you will be able to get your question answered on today's broadcast. 308-9564 is the number. The text line is 725-9283, 725-9283. We're about to take the break to tell you about the free Bible correspondence course that we are glad to send to you. This is a course that you can study at any time in your convenience, 24/7. If you're a night owl, you can study it in the middle of the night. Just take it, fill it out, study it. And by the way, look up all the verses. Make certain all those things are correct that the lesson is leading you in. And then fill it out, send it back, we'll grade it, then send the next lessons to you along with the graded one that you filled out. And so it will be back and forth until the end of the study. And so we're happy to send this to you free. The only thing you have to be out of your pocket would be a few cents in postage during the mailings. And so please go ahead and call right now for that. Here's details on that. And remember, go ahead and call in your questions even while we are at break. We'll be right back. We're back live now, and we want you to know that we are happy to be able to be with you, and we're glad that you are choosing to spend your afternoon learning what God says in His Word. And so please, we hope you do take advantage of the Bible Correspondence Course, and please don't miss out on this. It is free, and we will get it in the mail to you this week, and you'll be able to get it in the mail and study it and go back and forth and learn. And by the way, you probably will discover things in God's Word that you may have never heard before. Vital truths, truths that if you don't know those truths, could interfere with a good judgment day where the Lord will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord." That's what we want. Well, if we do not know what the Lord expects of us, how on earth will He be able to say those things to us? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's important to know what God says in His Word.
I want to make mention of the Bible Correspondence Course just to remind you that if you dial 553-5157, there's a message that comes up, and at the end of that, you just on the recording, you just leave your information there, and you can request, if you would like, a Let the Bible Speak in Your Home, or if you just want the Bible Correspondence Course, that's fine as well. Our main goal is to be able just to help you and aid you in whatever way is needed in order to learn more of God's Word and of God's Scriptures, and teaching you the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because there's a lot, far too many false teachings going on around today, and a lot of times people are subject to those things and not even really knowing that they are. You know, how can you repent of a sin if you don't know you're in sin? And so we just want to be able to help you to learn more of the Scriptures for yourself, not taking your parents' word for it, not taking your pastor's word for it, not taking your friend's word for it, but taking God's word for what God's word says. And so please just go ahead and take advantage of that opportunity of the Bible Correspondence Course, 553-5157. Or you can go ahead and call us in right now. We have two lines that are available. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station to call in your question, 308-9564. Or we also have the text line available. The text line is 725-9283, 725-9283. And we just had a request that I would repeat the passages for about the homosexuals and not being born gay. That was 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11, Revelations 21:8, and Romans 1:26 through 32. All right.
We have Kim calling in this question. She wants to know, how were the people in the Old Testament able to control sin without the presence of the Holy Spirit? Well, Kim, thank you so much for your question. That is a really good question, and I don't think we've ever heard that before. And so we really thank you for your question. We love those that tend to challenge us and cause us to grow more in knowledge of the Word as well. And the Word is just a wealth, a treasure that we will never, ever reach the bottom of. And so we just will keep on being able to dig out more treasure in God's Word. And so your question helps us there in that as well. Thank you, Kim. Her question, how were people in the Old Testament able to control sin without the presence of the Holy Spirit? Well, Kim, this may surprise you to know this, but the presence of the Holy Spirit never controlled anyone. Never. Even in the New Testament, it never controlled anyone as far as their moral decisions. They always kept a free will to choose to do good or to do bad. And so just because the Holy Spirit may have used them to prophesy or to speak through them, that did not change their heart at all. Now, the reason I know this, and in particular, you mentioned the Old Testament. So in Numbers chapter 22, we have the Holy Spirit coming on a donkey and opening the mouth of the donkey and speaking to its master, where its master had been beating him. Now, did that change the donkey's moral condition before God? Well, no, he was still a donkey. Well, and then another example in 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 24, we have King Saul, who at this point in his life in 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 24 was actually trying to kill David and was actually searching for David from place to place. And after going and talking and actually finding him but not getting him, it says in verse 24 that King Saul stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and laid down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? So there was Saul. King Saul brought under the power of the Holy Spirit, and actually he prophesied for all day and all night. Interesting, in a naked form for some reason, but still he did that. And the question is, did that change his heart at all? Well, the answer is no. After that event, he kept on getting after David. He was going to do everything he could to destroy him. And so you can see the Holy Spirit never changes someone's moral relationship, their relationship with God at all, unless, now let me give you that now, unless they listen to the words that they are speaking through their mouth. Because you see, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. And so the only way that would affect them would be if they listen to that same message which is coming through them, and then they make a decision on their own to follow after those things. Now, there's many examples. Let me go to one in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2. The very first example written after the church began in Acts 2, Peter is preaching this sermon. He preaches to the people on the day of Pentecost. He tells them what they must do in order to be saved. And then he gives a promise, or he gives some more information, just like Jesus has told them to do. Go into Jerusalem, wait, teach the gospel. He that believes, repents, and is baptized will be saved. So that all has been taught. Well, then it says in chapter 2 and beginning with verse 40, he says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And so I skipped the verse. Verse 39 is what I was looking for. It says, for the promise is to you and to your children. So that would be you Jews. This was all Jews there on the day of Pentecost. And to all that were afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So there, that's the phrase that refers to Gentiles. Now, Peter did not believe that. So he's actually preaching something he didn't believe. So you can see that he was still prejudiced. When you get to chapter 10 of Acts, God had to hammer this message that now God is accepting Gentiles three times in his head. And finally, he comes to that conclusion after the vision and after these people from the Gentile home, Cornelius' home being sent to him, the Spirit telling him to go with them, even though it was against the Jewish law, he still went. And then he opens his mouth in verse 34 of chapter 10 and said, "In truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons," or shows no partiality, depending on your translation. So there we can see, okay, he got the message, but his heart didn't change, because even later on in Galatians chapter 2, we see him doing something that showed his prejudice against Gentiles. And Peter was rebuked by Paul himself because of that. So, Kim, what we see there is, you do a careful study, the only time the Holy Spirit ever affected anybody was when the message that came through the Holy Spirit's message changed someone's heart and they chose to repent and to do what that message was saying. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. And thus, that's true of the Old Testament as well as New Testament. There's the Old Testament covenant. There's the New Testament covenant. Now we live under Christ's covenant. And so that's that. But the principle is still true, that the Holy Spirit was the tool to inspire these individuals to speak these things and to write these things we call the Bible. And thus, if we listen and give heed to these things, the words of life, then it will make a difference. So, Kim, thank you so much for your question. Again, those passages in the Old Testament was Numbers 22, where Balaam's donkey spoke, and then also 1 Samuel chapter 19, and then Acts chapter 2 we referred to. So hopefully that's helpful to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. That line is silent right now, so you can go ahead and call in your question. That's the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We're about to take a break. We're about to tell you about this Bible correspondence course. Please know that we are happy to send this to you. It will be yours in the mail this week if you will call right now and get that information that we're about to tell you about. If you already got the course, go ahead and continue to call in your questions right now, and we will let the Bible speak. 308-9564, that's the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us again, Pastor Bray. It is now just past the 2 o'clock hour. You are listening to the live call-in question and answer radio program, Let the Bible Speak. We appreciate you hanging in there with us, and we just want to continue to encourage you to call in your Bible questions. If you look over in Acts chapter 17, and in verse 10, it starts talking about a group of people here that I think we all could aspire to be like. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 10, it says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These," in verse 11, says, "these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica." So the people there, the Jews there in Berea, were more noble-minded or fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? Why were they more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica? It says that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. My friends, one of the biggest things that will hold you back in your walk with God is not receiving his word with all readiness. We must receive his word ready for it to change our lives. You don't just read the Bible just for fun. You don't just read the Bible just to find out what God says and then go on about your business. But you read the Bible, you study God's word to find out what it is in your life that you need to change. And you need to work on that daily. You must receive God's word with readiness of, this is going to change my life. I will change the way I think, the way I speak, the way I live, the way I treat others. I will change all of those things based on God's word. That's how you receive the scriptures. And it is our earnest prayer that we can just help you in that and to be able to grow. And so first you must learn the knowledge, and then you must apply the knowledge as you learn it. And so that is what the purpose of this broadcast is, to help you learn the knowledge so that you may apply it. So with that being said, please go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, 308-9564, or the text line's available. We haven't gotten any texts yet. The text line is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. You can text in your question to Let the Bible Speak.
We have Kim calling back with another question. Thank you, Kim. Great day today. We appreciate it. And by the way, she has a unique question again. But I want to encourage everyone, because this is the first Sunday of the month, and so many of you are probably just now getting out of your services, even if you're out yet. Because they extend the service, because in most churches today that they offer the Lord's, many churches, they offer the Lord's Supper on the first day of the month, first Sunday of the month. But now, the truth of the matter is, if you have a question about that, we'll be glad to answer what the Bible says. And just to give you a hint, it ain't what we just said. It's not what's going on. The Bible is very clear on in reference to the Lord's Supper. He does want it to occur, but what we need to do is to find out how often they partook of it. And the Bible does answer that question. So if you have a question about that, go ahead and call it in right now, 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak. We'll let God address that question and answer that question for us. And so go ahead and think about that and go ahead and call in the question if you want to see the answer. Here's Kim's question. Kim says, in Genesis, Eve was told not to touch the fruit. That's what she said. But in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, it says that they were just not to eat of the tree. Did Eve add to God's word? Well, that's a great question, Kim. We appreciate this very much. Let's verify what you just said, and that is that let's first find out in chapter 2 what was said and who it was said to. In chapter 2, we see the creation of man, how that God created man out of the earth. And then in verse 16 and 17, the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die." Well, then the next verse says that he went and saw that man did not have a helper compatible to him. So there, woman was created. And so that was occurred at the end of chapter 2, presented her to him, and thus they were to be joined together and become one flesh. Verse 24 goes on to say. Well, then chapter 3 picks up. Now, we don't know the timetable, nor even if this is the correct order. But if it is the correct order, as we're reading it from chapter 2 to chapter 3, there's where we have the events of the temptation that occurred through the serpent. Now, chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said,'" and here's the serpent talking, "'you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" Okay, here's the woman's answer to that. The woman said, "Oh, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, 'You shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Well, you know what happened after that. But there's your question. Did she add to what God said? Well, first of all, we don't have a record that God directly even said it to Eve. So where would she have gotten her information? She would have got her information from her husband, who God did see that and God had instructed to not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. And so he knew that. So she was informed somehow, either it was by God or it was by her husband. But for some reason, that when she told the serpent there that she's not supposed to touch that tree, that's what she understood. Maybe that was part of the way she was thinking. We don't know. But regardless of the fact, she violated it in every way. And so to this day, wherever she got her information to be able to recite it to the serpent there, she violated what she knew God had said. And so therefore, she was held accountable, and then starts the blame game. Adam blamed God, Eve blamed the serpent, and Adam blamed the woman, and so the blame game even continues to this day. My friends, ladies and gentlemen, blame game will not work in heaven. God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, and so we better not play into the same kind of ruse that the serpent did to Adam and Eve back then, or else we're going to find ourselves also kicked out of the paradise that was intended or built for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in heaven. He didn't make hell for us. He made hell for the devil and his angels. But he prepared a place in heaven for us. Now, it's our choice who we're going to listen to and who we're going to follow. I hope you have a heart to listen to God and God alone. Now, one other little side note there. What if Eve had done what she thought was the right thing to do? That is, not even to touch it. Would she have gotten into trouble? No. No. So as far as her adding to it, we don't know. But if she had just done it, we do know what would have happened there. And that is, sin would not have entered the world, at least by their hand. A man would have done it eventually, I'm sure. Regardless of that, we're speculating, but we can see what did happen there. And so, but real good question, Kim. Something to think on and chew on. Unfortunately, we have followed their pattern and continue to sin to this day. Romans 3:23, all sin and come short of the glory of God. And unfortunately, that includes me. And I bet it includes you too, Kim. And so we've just got to make certain that we follow God's instructions to get back in his good grace so that we might be able to hear him say, enter into the joys of the Lord. Thank you, Kim, very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the line for the voice. The text line is 725-9283. Chuck, you have a question?
Yeah, Annie has a question. And Ricky, Annie took your bait on asking about the Lord's Supper.
Oh,
and so we appreciate that, Annie. And hopefully this can help not only you, Annie, but as well as many others who have this question, or some who don't have this question and should have this question. So hopefully we can get this straightened out about the Lord's Supper by God's words, not ours. Annie's question reads, please explain about the Lord's Supper. Some churches won't let you partake of it unless they have baptized you. I'll address that first, and then I'll go to the second part of Annie's question, probably after the break. We're coming up on a break. So I'll answer this first part of your question, Annie, and then we'll come back and answer the second part of her question. So about some churches not allowing you to partake of the Lord's Supper unless they baptize you, that's probably something that you would probably have to ask whatever particular denomination that is, because that concept is foreign from the Bible. The Bible does not show in any way, shape, or form that you must be a part of some local denomination or some local church in order to partake of the Lord's Supper there. And so in Acts chapter 2, we see who does or what church you should be a part of or who does add you to the church. In Acts chapter 2, the context I'm looking at is going to be Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47, which is the end of the chapter. But we see here that after the people learned about Jesus, Christ told them that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both the Lord and Christ. In verse 37, they asked, what should they do? In verse 38, Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so he goes on and continues in speaking with them. And in verse 40, he says something very interesting. It says, and with many other words, he exhorted them and testified, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So let me ask you a question. If someone tells you to be saved, Does that mean you're already saved, or you need to do something in order to be saved? Well, I think we all can agree that means you need to do something in order to be saved. So Peter told them to be saved. So what did they do? The very, very next verse, verse 41 says, then those who gladly received his word. Well, that sounds like what we looked at in Acts chapter 17, talking about the Bereans. But it said those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added. Okay, what were they added to? They were added to the church. They were added to God's church. And we see that in verse 47. Verse 47, it says, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, the first part of verse 47 actually it should be with verse 46. So sometimes it's hard to distinguish between that. So the first part about verse 47 actually goes with verse 46. But the latter part of verse 47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So in order, when someone is baptized, they're baptized into Christ Jesus, and God adds them to his church. God adds you to his universal church of believers. That's not a local denomination. That's not a local church here in Charleston or a local church in Columbia or somewhere. The Lord adds you to his universal church. Now there are flocks of God's people who meet in certain areas that make up a local church, but there is no denomination of a affiliation about God's church. And so we see here that the Lord adds to the church, and that is in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. Now, we will go to a break, and I promise you we will be back after the break, and we will answer the rest of this question about the Lord's Supper. And Annie's second part of her question says, what about sin in your life? Should you not take it? So that's Annie's second question, and we will answer that after the break. 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live now, and we're glad that you are joining us today to go to the Bible for all the questions that are on your mind and on your heart. We've already got a couple of questions concerning the communion, in which many of you probably were, if you were at church, many churches do only offer the communion on the first Sunday of the month, and yet the Bible never says that phrase, first Sunday of the month, is not anywhere in the Bible. Matter of fact, that kind of terminology in any kind of language or any way it might be expressed is just totally foreign to the Bible. And so why is it that they do that? Well, that's man-made laws. And so Chuck is in the midst of going over that, and he's got two questions he's working on and going to be able to answer that right now. Now, if you have another question, then go ahead and call in your question, and we will go to the Bible for those answers. And we'll be glad to give you book, chapter, verse on all of this, and we are happy to be able to do so. So continue to call in your question. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. Okay, Chuck, you want to tell us more about that?
Yes, definitely. Okay, so the second part of Annie's question says, you know, what about sin in your life? Should you not take it, about the Lord's Supper? And we also had a text question to come in, and the text question was about this as well. The text question says, so what day and how often the Holy Communion is given, and must you be saved to take it? And can children take it as well? Okay, so I can answer all of those questions with the following series of verses, okay? So Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, if you're writing this down or if you I'm getting ready to turn there, it's Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, it's 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. Okay, so let's run through a few of those really quickly. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, this is the example that we should follow. There are a couple of passages throughout the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 11:1 and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9 and chapter 3 and verse 17, where we are told to follow in the example of the apostles. So we were supposed to follow the examples of what they taught, because they only taught what Jesus told them to teach. And so they follow in those things. And so if we're going to be disciples of Christ and followers of Christ, we must follow the things that they wrote down and told us to do in these letters that they wrote and compiled together that we have in the New Testament. So in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it shows what the New Testament Christians did in concerning when they assembled together. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, who was ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So here we see in chapter 20 and verse 7 of Acts that the reason they came together was to break bread. And the day they came together on was the first day of the week. Now, for those of you who are a part of particular denominations or particular churches who only take of the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday of the month, my question is, if God's word specifies the first day of the week and you only do it how often does the first day of the week come around? Well, the first day of the week comes around every 7 days. We call it Sunday. The first day of the week we call Sunday. So the Lord's Supper is supposed to be partaken of on Sunday. Now, well, you may say, well, we take it on the first Sunday of the month. Well, that's fine. Well, if you only take it on the first Sunday of the month, that means you only obey this example. You only obey what God has commanded one Sunday out the month. Now, would God be pleased if you had a continual practice of only obeying him one Sunday out the month? Think about that. We see here the example that the apostles, they fallen, and the disciples, they came together. That was the very purpose of them coming together, was to break bread. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 through 34, that's the really big context about the New Testament and how when they came together, the very purpose of them coming together on the first day of the week was to break bread in remembrance of Christ suffering and what he did, because that's what he told them to do when it was implemented. In verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says that, for I received from the Lord that which he also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, do this, which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is my cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, Ricky, I got a question for you. When he says this cup is the new covenant in my blood, what does he mean? It's the new covenant in his blood.
Well, when we become a child of God, we enter into a covenant relationship with God. In the Old Testament, they entered in the covenant through physical circumcision on the eighth day. And in the New Testament, though, the circumcision is not that made with hands, but that of the heart. And Colossians chapter 2 talks about that occurs when we are baptized into Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 12, 13, and 14, it says, being buried, let me start with verse 11, in him you also are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So how is one circumcised by Christ? Well, verse 12 answers that. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And so there is where that covenant is entered into, as they entered into a covenant in the Old Testament, we in the New Testament. But this is done when we are buried with him in baptism. That's Colossians 2.
So, Ricky, the texter that asked if children could take it as well, would that apply to children taking it as well? with entering into the covenant relationship with God?
Well, to a child, it would be eating of a piece of bread and drinking of some grape juice. And there wouldn't be a covenant relationship at all in that. And so I would not necessarily say that that would be the right thing to do. Although there's not an example of saying that it's wrong, we know that the Lord's Supper, when it says, and when you eat of this cup, eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you are remembering the covenant. It's the blood of the covenant that we are to be remembering.
And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, we actually see a phrase that is used that we each can use to self-examine whether we are in that covenant relationship and whether we can partake of this this memorial meal that commemorates it. In 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 21, it says, there is also in a like figure or symbol that what now saves us, baptism. Baptism, it is not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but is the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we are baptized into Christ, God adds us to his church. We become a member of his universal church through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the answer of a good conscience towards God. So from hearing the gospel and hearing that Christ suffered and died for my sins, and that would lead me to repent from my old sins, to confess Christ as Lord, to be baptized, to be baptized into Christ as a submissive act to the watery grave of baptism. It is my answer of a good conscience towards God by faith, doing what he wants me to do in response to his gospel and what he did for me.
And based upon that first part of the question, when you asked to begin with, I think sometimes churches that want to baptize into their church, that they are creating a covenant with this new member, and thus they've got to be in a covenant with that denomination. Well, it's not a matter of being in a covenant with man. It is the matter of being in a covenant with God. And so we're supposed to be part of his church. And when we do what he says, when we believe, repent, confess, and are baptized, it says in Acts 2:47 that the Lord adds us to his church. Thus, he's our king, and we're in his kingdom. It is his body. He's the head, and we are the members. And there are several other symbols that he gives to describe us and his relationship. Man has no authority because Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So our covenant is not with man, but rather with God himself.
And real quickly, I'm just going to go over those verses one more time before we go to break. That was Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 47. It's 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 16. And the main thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. And we also sprinkle in Colossians 2, 11 through 13, and 1 Peter 3. Verses 20 and 21. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. It is time for us to take our next break. Well, even while we are at break, please, we have two lines available. You can go ahead and call in your question. If you got a question, maybe we need to elaborate more on this, or if we spent too much time on it and you want us to answer something else, go ahead. You can do that as well. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live. Once again, we appreciate you sticking with us through the break. And you can please go ahead and call in your question. We got the lines available, 308-9564. That's 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283. Concerning the question that we just talked about with the Lord's Supper, if you go to our website, www.biblealone.com, there is a study there. There's a lot of studies on there, as a matter of fact. All of them are free. You can go ahead. They're just Adobe files. You can go ahead and download them and print them off at your leisure. There's a lot of popular subjects on here that would interest you and that we can help you in. One of them is titled, Are We to Partake of the Lord's Supper Weekly? And so that we probably the scriptures that I gave you is on there as that we just went over, as well as some others. So you can download that that file. Are we to partake of the Lord's Supper weekly? That is one of the free Bible materials on our website. And there's many others. There's marriage, divorce, and remarriage. There is there are problems as far as the baptism and people's way to salvation. And so there is a lot of different things on our website. That's BibleAlone.com. They're all free. There's no kind of crazy link that you have to go through after that, but it's just a regular Adobe file. Feel free to download it and study those things at your leisure. And that, once again, that's www.BibleAlone.com. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564.
We have another question coming on that subject. And by the way, Kim, I'm going to get to your question about leaven in just a few minutes. But while we're on the subject, we'll go ahead and address this again while it's fresh on people's minds. We have a caller calling and says, okay, the Lord's Supper, where does the Bible say every Sunday? Okay, well, first of all, the word Sunday is not in the Bible, or Monday, Tuesday, or any other day of the week. Our calendar was invented hundreds of years after the Bible was completed. Now, what the Bible does say is first day of the week. Now, on our calendar, we do call that Sunday, but the Bible refers to it as first day of the week. And so as far as the frequency, I will approach it a little bit different way even than we just approached it a minute ago. That would be helpful to those that have already heard this question. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul says, be followers of me even as I am also of Christ. So God, through Paul, tells us to follow his example. And just in case we don't necessarily like that verse, well, Philippians 3 and verse 17 says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Now, that's not a suggestion, is it? That is a command. Both of those were commands. Well, and just in case you don't like that well enough, then look at chapter 4 and verse 9, where Paul again says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Okay, three strikes. I'm going to give in. We've got to follow Paul's example. So when it comes down to the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, all it says is, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. It didn't say how often in 1 Corinthians 11, and you're exactly right. It doesn't tell us how often they're in that passage. But being that we're supposed to follow those examples, then let's go for their examples. And when you turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, as we read this verse, please know I'm going to, just for the sake of emphasis, sometimes it's good to notice what the Bible doesn't say in order to get to what it does say. So as I read this verse, you tell me if I mess it up. Here I go. Now, on the first day of the year, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight. Now, those of you that know that verse know I changed one word. It didn't say year, did it? What it said was week. But what if that verse had said first day of the year? Well, we could conclude that they came together on a yearly occurrence to partake of the Lord's Supper. But it doesn't say year. And it doesn't say month. If it had said month, we would conclude that it would have been a monthly occasion. However, what the verse does say is, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul was there, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight. So there's why the New Testament Christians are to follow Paul's example, and that's why they came together, and it's stipulated they came together for this reason on the first day of the week. My friends and brethren, those of us here are here this day, this is the day, the first day of the week, that we are to gather together to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper. And when we do, we're doing exactly what they did in the New Testament. And by the way, That same terminology is used for the contribution, first day of the week, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So proponents of saying, well, we don't have to do it every first day of the week. Well, 1 Corinthians 16 says first day of the week too. So that means we don't have to take up collection every week either, do we? Oh, you're not going to buy that, are you? No, We're going to take up collection as much as and as often as possible.
So, Ricky, quick question. If you take one thing that the Bible says, but you take something else that it says the same thing in another way,
mm-hmm.
Well, if we can pick and choose which scriptures we obey and which scriptures we don't, then what does that make us?
Well, then that makes us inconsistent, trying to be gracious here. However, Galatians chapter 1 says that we'll be accursed. If we pick and choose, then we become more inspired than the scripture themselves. And so we've got to just stick with what the Bible says. Now, remember, the voice line is 308-9564. That is the voice line. So if you have a question that you want to send to us, then go to our voice line, which is 308-9564. Now, our text line is 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line, and we can go to the Bible for the answer to those questions. But thank you so much. We sure do appreciate it very much. Do you have another question there before I get to Kim?
Yes, we do. Look at Elizabeth's question. Before I get to Elizabeth's question, just want to remind you about our correspondence course. 553-5157 is the number you need to dial to sign up for the Bible correspondence course. Once again, the Bible correspondence course is absolutely free, free of charge. We do not charge you anything whatsoever. It is very helpful to you, and many, many people throughout the years, as we've been offering this, have told us that they have learned things in our Bible correspondence course that they never knew their entire lives. Church-going people who study the scriptures, learn new things about God's word. So please go ahead and dial 553-5157, 553-5157. I'm going to get back to Elizabeth's question, but Ricky had a question we've been waiting on for a while. Let's go ahead and get that.
Kim's question is reference to the leaven of the Pharisees. What was the leaven? And she's referring to Mark chapter 8 and verse 15, where Jesus was talking with his disciples. And he said to them in verse 15, he says, "Take heed, brethren, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And so he warns them against that, and she wants to know, what is that leaven? Well, leaven is a yeast in a bread. If you have just a tad of leaven in bread, once you knead that dough, then it just spreads throughout the whole loaf, and you can keep on spreading that dough to other loaves, and it just keeps on growing. That's what leaven is. And it was a yeast that they used to cause their bread to rise. Now, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were to remove all of that yeast, that leaven, from every house as they kept that Feast of Unleavened Bread. But leaven was a yeast that caused the dough to rise, and that's what it was. Now, here it's not talking about the literal bread, even though they mistakenly thought he was getting on to them about them not getting bringing enough food. However, he was talking about the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees and Herod in that case as well. And so their teaching, their influence, that worldly influence. And so, Kim, how it applies to us today, of course, we do not have the Pharisees around. We have people of the same attitude, though. We don't have Herod or kings around, but we still have that kind of influence in our government and such. And so we should not allow any source, whether it be government, whether it be religious leaders, as in the Pharisees, to influence us against what God's word says. In Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that's called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ." And Paul says, even if we, including himself, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed, anathema. God is not going to put up with that. And so that's what he was telling them there. Don't listen to sources of information from anywhere except from God himself. So, Kim, I hope that's helpful to you. It wasn't talking about physical bread. It was talking about the influences of those over them, whether it be worldly or spiritual leaders. Thank you so much. Again, the number is 308-9564. Can you squeeze in one more question before the break?
I thought I would, but I'm not going to lie to myself. No, let's go ahead to break. 308-9564, 308-9564. Go ahead and call us and call in your question. This is the last segment. After this break, we're coming back. This will be the last segment of the program. We got a couple of questions on deck here, and we will be able to get these to you. But 308-9564 to call us here at the station. But even while we're at break, you can call us in your questions and also sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. 553-5157. Don't forget about the course. Please go ahead. Take this opportunity to sign up for the course.
You know, the reason it's so important that if you've never taken this course is because most churches today restrict some of the truth from being told. And the reason that they restrict it is because they have to operate within the parameters of their denomination. So you would do yourself a favor would to remove all those boxes that the religious world would put us in, all of those restrictions, and let's just go to the Bible and learn the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God. So go ahead, enroll in that course. Here's the information on it. And while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We're so glad that you are taking out time in your afternoon to go to the Bible and want to find the answers in God's Word. Again, we are in our last segment, so don't wait. Go ahead and call in your question, and we'll do our best to get it on today's broadcast, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
Elizabeth has a question. It says, is it wrong to turn away studies with Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, there's two different ways we can think about that answer to that question. One is the Jehovah's Witness, are they wanting to study with you just to teach you about what their religion says? Or do you know a Jehovah's Witness? You have a friend that's a Jehovah's Witness, and they're willing to study to learn about Christ and learn about God. So I have a couple of different scriptures that can answer both ways. One, if a Jehovah's Witness wants to study with you just to teach you about what they have in their religion, then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 would deal with that. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship or no participation, no joint participation with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Okay. And there's also 2 John, there's only one chapter, so 2 John, the book of 2 John, verses 9 through 11, that talks about if you don't have, if someone comes to you with, and verse 10 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So that's Ephesians 5:11 and 2 John, verses 9 through 11. However, if you know a Jehovah's Witness and they're willing to listen to what the Bible says, what the scriptures say about Christ and about God, then 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 24 through 26 would apply. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 24 through 26 that says, and the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Also, 2 Timothy, same book, over in chapter 4, verse 2, that says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So if anyone has an open ear to be able to listen to what God's word says or what the scripture says, then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26 and chapter 4, verse 2 would apply to that. we as children of God, as disciples of Christ, we should be able to teach those who do not know. However, if they're just wanting to get on you about their religion, Ephesians 5:11 and 2 John 9-11. Ready?
Yes, I've got three questions here. Mary calls in to ask this question. What's the difference between communion with water, with wine, and grape juice? Well, Mary, as we always are committed to do, we'll just let the Bible speak. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29, Jesus said, I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So the fruit of the vine is what Jesus described as was in the cup. And so that would be a juice of a grape of some form or fashion. And so there's what God's definition would be. That's Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29. Ben calls in this question. He references Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8. And verse 7, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then in verse 8, it says everyone. He wants to know, does that mean everyone or just those in his church? Literally, is it everyone or those in his church? Well, good question, Ben. And when you look at the context, there is nothing to restrict it to being those just in his kingdom, because it's talking about those who would come to him. Ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be given. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, he who knocks it will be opened. And so that would be, it seems as if, from what I can see, everyone. Because that's the process by which someone does come to him to get into his church.
And in Acts chapter 2, Peter said virtually the exact same thing in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, after he told the people to repent and be baptized. Verse 39, he says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He calls everyone with his gospel message.
And we have another caller calling in this question. They want to know in reference to, is it okay for children to be baptized based upon Mark 10 and verse 14, where Jesus says, forbid not the children to come unto me. It says, if we refuse to baptize children, aren't we refusing children to come to Jesus? Well, that's a very good question. Except if you have I see kids dunking one another in the pool all the time. Well, that's baptism. That is immersion. That is a burial, certainly. Hopefully they don't bury them for too long because they may drown. But nevertheless, that is baptism. So it's not just the process of someone being dipped in water. There is meaning behind that. And that meaning is a meaning entering into a covenant with God. And so when someone is old enough to enter into a eternal covenant with God, well, then certainly then they're old enough to sin against God. And thus, then they certainly need the cleansing that does come when one dies with Christ in baptism. Romans chapter 6, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. And thus we need that that death of Jesus in order for our sins to be cleansed. So I appreciate your question a lot. Little children have never sinned against God because they don't comprehend God. To a little child, mom and dad are God. Then as they grow older, then there may be other significant authorities in their lives, such as maybe teachers or leaders in other ways. Well, then as they continue to grow, they find out, well, there is an authority over all men, which is God. Now, if they kick their parents in the shin at 2 years old, have they sinned against God? Well, no. They've sinned against mom and dad, and hopefully mom and dad will teach them a little bit about authority when they do that. And that is important because that's why the parents were told to teach that to their children, to bring them up into nurture and admonition. And so that is something that they must do. But as they grow older and they violate and they do wrong, then they will eventually do that same thing. If they disobeyed their parents, then yes, they've sinned against God and they need the redemption that would only come from dying with Christ in baptism to rise and walk in newness of life. And thus, Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul himself was told, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Again, the number here to give us your question is, the voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564. That's the voice line. The text line, if you want to text us, at 725-9283, we'll be glad to get your question. We have just about 2 minutes, 3 minutes left, so hurry, get your question. We'll do our best to answer it on today's broadcast.
Yeah, just to make mention, we've had a few people actually call the text line, just to verify. The text line is 725-9283, 725-9283 is the text line. The voice line, we got about 3 or 4 more minutes, 308-9564. We can answer your question really quickly, 308-9564. Want to make mention that someone called earlier to ask to repeat the questions about the Lord's Supper. There were a lot of them. First of all, I just want to remind you, if you can go to www.BibleAlone.com, once again, you click on the, I believe it's the tab that says products or free
Bible material.
Bible material, free Bible material. You can click on that. They're all Adobe files. They're free. They don't have any viruses, nothing crazy. Go ahead. You can download that. And there's one on there that asks the question, are we to take the Lord's Supper weekly? And so that would be the program that you would want to download. So that is on our website, www.BibleAlone.com. However, the scriptures we used earlier, go ahead, be ready to write them down, concerning the Lord's Supper, the scriptures we used earlier was Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 47, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. So once again, real quick, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 47, 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 32 was the scriptures that we talked about with the Lord's Supper, and partaking of the Lord's Supper. 308-9564, real quick, we just got a question in. 308-9564, Ricky, you think you'll be able to get that?
I'm going to assume that this is a serious question, but it's a sad way to end the broadcast. The question is, who is God's father and mother? Well, God is God, and he was not created nor procreated by anyone. He's always existed, and so that eliminates the idea of father, mother. He even describes himself to Moses as I am. That was, he's always existed. Is God black or white? Well, he created man, and man has developed through the years to different kind of complexions because of environmental things. There's no such thing, no such respect with God. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male nor female. For if we are Christ, if we belong to him, there is none of that. If we're Christ, then we're of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so all of those are irrelevant questions. They're not, I mean, ideas, because the Bible does not stipulate any of that. And so thank you for your question, and we appreciate that very much. Again, we are thankful that you have joined us. You got a quick question?
The text question that came in says, we seem to have concluded that God's rule for the Lord's Supper is at a gathering on the first day of the week. Well, yeah, we have seemed to conclude that through the scriptures that we saw. And it talks about what about the people in sick, having sickness or a family situation that would cause them to miss that. Well, then we should not. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about forsaking, not forsaking the assembly. So we missing the assembly should not be become a habit, something consisting of doing it consistently. But if someone to miss a gathering for a specific situation, you know, that may be out of their control or a sickness or something, then it seems like the scriptures would not point to someone, their heart not being right with God. But as far as the gathering on the first day of the week, yes, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 32.
We are run out of time. We want to say thank you for joining us today, and we hope and pray that it has been beneficial to you. Please visit our website, BibleAlone.com. There are resources on the Lord's Supper there. You can see under Bible materials, and you can download those and print them out and do whatever you want to with them. We're glad to be able to share them with you. Thank you so much for joining us today, and be sure to join us again next week as we let the Bible speak.